my intention several times. I know that if I set an intention, that intention has to be met. And I've said this to you before, but not in quite some time. It's my intention that because we are gathered here in this holy space, which is holy because we're here, because we are the residents of holiness itself, that something will happen that will change our vibration and raise us. The talk title is Arise and Go Home, and I believe that on some level, this will occur for me today, and it will occur for each and every one of you to some discernible degree. As I say sometimes, psychologically and emotionally, we come into a sanctuary at different places at different times. Sometimes life is more easy than at other times. Sometimes we feel stronger than at other times, more grounded and more centered in the truth that sets us free. So there are some times when we actually crawl into the sanctuary psychologically and emotionally on our belly. And if you're one of those people who did that today, I want you to know that my intention is that you will not crawl out on your belly. You'll at least crawl out on your knees. And if you crawled in here on your knees, it is my intention that you will not leave here crawling out on your knees, but that you will at least be upright and allowed to limp out. If you limped in here, it is my intention that you walk out. If you walked in, I intend that you should be able to skip out. If you skipped in here, my intention is that you are able to run out. And if you ran in here, my intention is that you will fly out. I want you to share my intention for you today. Just to know that wherever you are, and wherever you are is appropriate. It's the place you are. Don't argue with it. Just count on being lifted today. We're doing a series of the parables. Part of me is really grateful that Reverend Sean Moniker gave us this assignment for the year to bring parables. And part of me, like, is at home sometime going, wow, like, what more can you say about the parables that hasn't already been said? And then I hear that quiet voice that says, not everything has been said about the parables. And anything you, Carlos, have already heard about them, trust that you can open your mouth and have something come through that will even surprise you and uplift you. The parable that we are speaking of today under the title Arise and Go Home is the parable of the lost son that most of us refer to as the prodigal son. Most of you already know the story. It's a story of a rich, wealthy man who had two sons. And one day the youngest of his sons came to him and says, Dad, I want to try life out on my own. I want you to give me my inheritance. And I'm actually going to leave our residence and check out the world. And so the father says, here, you can have your inheritance. And we know that the son got his money, he got his inheritance, and he went out in the world on his own. It wasn't exactly as he expected it to be. He got out there and he got very lost in his own mind, lost in his own heart. And as we know under the Unity teachings, if you're lost in your own mind and in your heart, you are lost indeed. And the outpicturing of the world will show up to mirror your lostness in your mind and your lostness in your heart. And so he found himself in great want. He kind of did what I did back in the hippie days. He partied and he grooved and he spent all of his money on things that did not matter and would not last. And eventually, he was broke. He had gone through his entire inheritance. He got to a point where he started like begging people for food and he had to take some jobs out there to make a little change that he never thought he would ever have to stoop down to that level. At some point, he gets so low that he is actually feeding swine, and he is actually envying the swine, the pigs that they have the slop to eat. For a Jewish pig to be feeding pigs is as low as you can get. And for a nice Jewish boy to envy a pig for having more than he has is as low as you can conceive of. I'm probably not the only one in the sanctuary today who has been that kid, who has wasted my own mind, my own time, my own money. I have in my own life reached some places that were lower than I thought I'd ever go. This kid, who was so lost because he was trying to do it on his own, represents me at one point in my life when I thought I could do it without God and without spiritual communion with other brothers and sisters, gathering together in a space to stir up the spirit, the good work, and the treasure that is within me. Just Carlos out there trying to do his own thing. I have slept in parks and under bridges and on streets. I have walked through New York City with my eyes to the ground, looking for any bit of change I could find so that I could put it together and get myself one little gyro sandwich to eat for the day. I have wasted money on alcohol and drugs and sex and rock and roll and had nothing and was too ashamed to call home to Massachusetts and tell my daddy and my mama that I was broke, that I was alone, that I was homeless. I didn't tell them because I was ashamed and I didn't want to share my shame with them. I didn't want them to know. I know exactly how the prodigal son felt. I've been him. And I don't know I could possibly be him again. The world is a place where you don't know what tomorrow will bring. My title comes because at some point, this young kid is standing there going, "What am I doing?" Like when I was at home with my father, I had everything. I had clothes, I had shelter, I had food. All of my desires were met. What am I doing out here on my own? How is it that I'm standing here watching pigs eat slop and envying them? So the scripture says, one day he came to himself and said to himself, "I will arise and go home to my father." And I don't care how my father welcomes me back at home. He can make me no longer his son. He can make me a servant in the house. I don't mind if he makes me a servant rather than a son. Because at least as a servant, I'll have shelter and food to eat, and will not be out here starving, lonely, and afraid. So then it said, after saying, "I will arise and go home," he followed that statement by arising and going home. I've been him. I've been on a Trailways bus, leaving out of Port Authority, heading back to Amherst, Massachusetts, knowing I've messed up, not knowing what dad and mom were going to say about it. And thank God I've also had his experience as it played out. Because the scripture says that even as he was on his way home, before he got there, his father saw him from far off and ran. Not with a switch or a belt in his hand, like I thought Mama and Daddy might have waiting for me. But he ran and fell upon him, not with a whipping, but with an embrace. and a kiss. And he took him home. And he told the servants, get a robe for my son and sandals for his feet. And begin to prepare a feast. Get also a ring for his finger. Because this, my son, was lost and is now found. He was dead and has been made to live again. I've had that experience with my daddy, the bird. When I thought I was in trouble, and I made my way home with my tail between my legs, not knowing what my punishment would be, my daddy met me with a hug and a kiss and told Mama to make a meal because Carly was lost and he's found. Carly was dead out there and has been made to live again. Almost every preacher that I've ever heard preach the prodigal son story stops right there and talks about the kid. But sometimes I like to think about the father in this. It said that when he decided to come home, the father saw him while he was still a good ways off and ran to meet him. What this lets me know is that that father has been standing at the window looking for his son's return from the moment his son left the yard. The father knew that the son could not make it without connection to him. He knew that he was the source of the son's blessings. And so I think about the creator of all of creation. And I think that sometimes when we are lost, we feel alone, but we are never alone because the creator who created us is always standing, looking out the window, waiting for our return. Knowing that inevitably we would have to come home. When the scripture says, I will arise, I think that we have been prefaced for that with words that have been spoken in the song that has been sung already in the service. Arising to us can look like a physical activity where you are down on your knees at one moment and then you arise. But I think the important place to arise is in consciousness. You lift your mind to the highest place. You lift it beyond your circumstances, beyond your challenges, beyond your problems, beyond your upset, and beyond your identity as being separate from the Creator. The first place you get up has to be in your mind. If you get up physically without getting up in your mind, you're not up. You have not risen. You're still down, although you're standing on 2 feet upright. Arising is about raising your consciousness to a higher place. I also believe that when the scripture says, one day he came to himself and said, I will arise and go home to my father. I believe that there's something important about the words, he came to himself. We think that we are separate from the Creator and all of creation. We think we're an island. We think we're a single self apart from all other single selves. We think the self we are is housed in this body, and everything that is inside this body or has to do with this body is me, and anything that's outside of the body is you or it or them or they, but not me. I think that when you come to yourself, you have come to God, because that is yourself. When you come to yourself, you have returned to the Creator. You have returned to the conscious belief that I and God are one. You have come to a place where you can know, as the Course in Miracles states it, I am one self united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and I am limitless in power and in peace. It's a consciousness place. All of the scriptures, all of the characters, they point out places in consciousness that you and I can find ourselves in. There was no separation between the Father and the Son, because they are one. There is no separation between you and the Creator of all good, because you are one. This is the story of someone like me who fell into the illusion of believing I could ever be separate from my Creator and from the source of my good. There's another character in there that doesn't get spoken about a whole lot, and that is the elder son, who didn't go to the Father and say, give me my inheritance so I can check out like myself. He stayed at home. But check this out. When his little brother came home and they gave him a robe and a ring and sandals and a party, the older brother got ticked off. Have you ever been in the state of feeling like you're doing everything you can to do the right thing? I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing my affirmations. I'm reading the books that I need to read. I'm going to the workshops and the seminars and the retreats. I'm doing my meditation. I'm reading the daily word. I'm doing all of this. And then along comes somebody that ain't doing nothing, that has nothing to do with connecting with God. And they win the Powerball. And it's so hard to witness such a thing and go, my, isn't that nice? Isn't it great? Jerry won the Powerball. Oh, you mean the Jerry that don't believe in nothing but himself? Yeah, Jerry. No, oh, come on now. That was the guy who stayed home. That brother, I didn't go out wasting my time, my energy, my consciousness. I didn't waste my money out there drinking and partying and womanizing. I didn't end up in the presence of pigs, envying them for the slop they had. I've been here doing the right thing. I come to Unity every Sunday. I go to every summer retreat and winter retreat. I go to every workshop they give. I've read every book in that bookstore. Talk about daily word, I read the daily word more than David. And I look around my neighborhood and around my world, and I see some of these rookies and rascals out there that ain't doing nothing on purpose. And they win megabucks while I'm trying to figure out how to keep my apartment. Yeah, I'm ticked off. When he expresses all that to the Creator says to him, why would you be upset? Because if it's true that you have maintained your residence in my presence, you should know that everything I have is yours. I've been all of these characters, and so have you. Because the scriptures only talk about arenas of consciousness available for us to plant ourselves in at varying times in the course of our life experience. And so I use it today to remind myself that coming to myself is coming to God. Because myself is not the self I claim it to be. I am not a fractured, separate being, apart from God, and apart from you all, and apart from that rascal that won the Powerball. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation. And I am limitless in power and in peace. Returning to the Father, returning home for me, many times is just returning to those five principles. The five unity principles, they are home to me. Because no matter what the challenge is in my own mind, no matter what level of forgetfulness I seem to be living out at any given time, I am served when I arise in consciousness and return home to the knowing there is but one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, and that is God, the good, omnipotent, all-powerful. Though I can never truly be separate from God, in my mind I can be, and so can you. And we all have been, and we have returned home again and again and again. If you have ever felt lost or envious or afraid or confused or upset or worried that you have wasted your life or your time or your mind on anything meaningless, if you've ever been so sad you didn't know if it would ever stop, if you've ever been curled up in a fetal position, not wanting to face the world, if your heart has ever been broken so bad you doubted that it would ever be able to be put back together again, raise your left hand. If you have been in any of these psychological places, of aloneness, fear, desperation, confusion, anger, upset, sadness, look around the room. Everybody but two people have their hand. And they're not really here. If you've ever made it through the dark night of the soul, if you've ever made it through your anger, your sadness, your upset, if you've ever found your way home again to hope and joy and peace, raise your right hand. Look around the room. Do you know what this means, brothers and sisters? It means that you, at least at some point, came to yourself and said, I will arise and go home to my Father. You are the proof of God's resurrecting power. Remember this, God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know there's nothing to fear and that there's nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. Free to arise and go home anytime you feel like it. And so it is. Father, Mother, Spirit, God, I come now before the throne of grace with an open heart and a raised mind. After all my wandering through thoughts and feelings of separation from my good, separation from the source of my good, or separation from any aspect of creation. Continue to call me home. Continue to inspire me to come to myself. Knowing that in a decision to come to myself, I have decided to come to you. Father, Mother, Spirit, God, please inspire me to remember oneness, truth, safety. Inspire me to remember that I can always arise, always get up. I can always lift my mind above and beyond the cares and the considerations and the trials and tribulations of this earth plane. Me wandering in a consciousness of being in a separate self, separate from all other selves. It's a lonely, lonely journey. Me being in the consciousness of feeling that I am cut off from health, prosperity, inspiration, wisdom. It's a scary, scary journey. Each time I make that journey, may I quickly come to myself and arise and go home. One place of home for me is this particular Unity of New York ministry. Coming here for me is coming home. And the fire around which we gather, the five unity principles, they as well are home. Loving is home. Uplifting is home. Encouraging is home. May I let go of all that is not home. Let me release and let go, and let God be God in me, as me, expressing through me. Good it is to go home. How sweet it is to know that I am loved eternally by the Creator of all that is. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Right now, I am home with you and you and all of creation. I've been informed. My captivity is over. I've been informed. In truth, I'm free.